drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Good morning and welcome on into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Also on 100.3 HD2. And you can take us on the go with the ESPN Chicago app. Tyler Rocky, Mike Gilligan, we talk golf with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season, 8 to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. You want to join us, 312-332-3776. The segment is sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. I am out on the road in the great golfing state of North Carolina. Mike is in his humble abode back in the Chicagoland area. Good morning, Mike. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Tyler. Doing well, and good morning, everybody here in Chicago. Tyler, the weather here is a little overcast and cloudy, but still we can get out and play, at least as Mother Nature keeps the rain away. But rain is, in fact, coming. So feel sorry for the people at Lollapalooza later today. But hopefully those that are getting out this morning are making it out, and we'll get their 18 in before the inclement weather does arrive.
Well, you don't have to worry about the 16 to 21 crowd pretty much at the courses or the driving ranges today, because they'll all be occupied up at Lollapalooza. So should be a great golfing day, though, nonetheless, as long as the rain stays away out in the Chicagoland area. Pretty interesting week this week, Mike, in the world of golf, as Tiger Woods has joined the PGA Tour Policy Board. That means he's going to be a part of a group of six players that now are going to have a little bit of a say in how everything kind of shakes out, especially with this new merger between the PGA Tour and the Saudi PIF. So the thing with Tiger Woods is that he's been largely silent on a lot of things involving LIV Golf. He hasn't really put his foot down. He's obviously stayed loyal to the PGA Tour. But this is, I think, the first major step that we've seen Tiger take. And it's taken a little bit for him and for a guy who hasn't played in many events over the last 2 years since LIV Golf has become prevalent. But this is a big first step for Tiger in terms of showing how he wants to get involved and how he sort of wants to plan for the future of golf and the sport at large.
No doubt. And, you know, this is actually a very positive sign, not only for golf fans, but for the PGA Tour players themselves. Whenever Superman comes in to save the day, I think it gives the opportunity for the players to have an additional seat on the board. It now brings the number up to six. So they now kind of have a majority. So I think there's a bit of relief on the player's side knowing Tiger's there. He's going to look out for the best interest of the tour and us. He knows this inside and out. He is the leader in many different ways, but he could be leading an era and a change in the golf ecosystem that may have more of an impact than anything he has done in his career up until this point. So this is an amazing opportunity for Tiger Woods to literally give back to the game that's been so amazing to him, in a way that he can shape the game in the future for years and decades long after he's, you know, done playing. So I think, you know, Phil Mickelson, Adam Scott, JT, they're all loving the fact that this move has been done, because as you pointed out earlier, he's been quiet up until this point, but now he's starting to talk and people are going to listen.
And the interesting part too is, like, he's the only guy in the entire sport that's bigger than the tour. Like, could you imagine if Tiger Woods would have jumped over to LIV Golf? He's a guy who, if he had jumped to LIV Golf, the taboo would have been gone. If Tiger went, LIV Golf would have become probably even bigger, and we would be looking at, the PGA Tour would be the ones that would really be scrambling for help here, because he is the one, he is the sport, He is the guy that can make everything sort of, it's his way or the highway. And him now being a part of navigating the future for golf with what's happening with LIV and what that whole outlook is going to be like with Tiger Woods, like, I can't even imagine what this sport would be looking like right now if he had jumped over to LIV, because it would have been LIV's world and everyone else is just living in it in the golf world.
Agreed. I mean, and I think Tiger is going to be the guy that saves the day in a bunch of different ways. I mean, when you take maybe the most influential player in sports history and now know that he's going to be very active in all of these negotiations, I think it really, you know, makes a volatile, you know, unknown situation feel a little bit better as they start to head into these, you know, playoffs and the FedEx Cup and all the rest of it. Because the clock is ticking. I mean, they have to get a deal done by the end of the year, according to what is currently in the current framework. Not to say that they couldn't extend it, but the idea is that this thing happens by the end of the year, so both sides just don't have to split and go away. What I'm going to be most curious about as Tiger now gets involved, this could spell doom for LIV as we know it. I mean, he could be one of those guys that decides to try to just get rid of the whole thing and try to nail it back down to a DP World Tour and an American Tour and just keep it as two tours and then mix in some form of team golf. But LIV may stick around. You never know. And I know the LIV players, they don't really have, from what I'm reading and seeing, most of these guys don't have any interest in coming back. And I think the Europeans that are playing LIV right now feel the same way about the DP World Tour. So I think you have a situation here where it's going to get really, really interesting over the next 60, 90 days as to how do they untangle this mess in a way that is going to be fruitful for golf from 2024 on. That's going to be, you know, what I think everyone is going to be tuned in to see, you know, what's going to happen and how is Tiger going to shape and change all of this? Because trust me, when he speaks, everyone is going to listen. I can't think of a better role for this guy, given the physical condition that he's in right now,
right,
where he can be probably more helpful and more influential than he's ever been before.
You know, what's interesting too is, I don't think the world really knows his true thoughts on LIV either, because remember, I can't remember if it was the Masters or what, it must have been the Masters this year, and he was talking, I believe it was to Brooks, and he knew everything about LIV, like he almost like he had been watching it pretty much ever since it had started up. And I wonder what his true stance is on LIV, because he cannot like it. But if he doesn't hate it, he may align a little bit with some of the things that LIV wants to do in terms of continuing to build for the future and all that. And then at the end of the day, like with the new policies in place that we're expecting to see, with some cash going to the guys that remained loyal to the PGA Tour as a part of this new deal and merger with the PIF, who knows? I mean, he could be getting a whole bunch of cash to say, all right, just let the LIV golf circuit continue, and it's not going to harm you. You just kind of have to stay out of the way of it and just let it continue to exist in its current format.
Well, and you bring up an excellent point. We truly don't know. I mean, we know that Tiger wanted to protect his legacy, and I think as he was looking at LIV, he was looking at it through the lens of me, myself, and I. You know, my majors, my tour wins, the numbers thereof, the legacy, and all of that. But now he's got to look at this for the better part of the, you know, the Webb Simpsons and the Charlie Hoffmans of the world, if you will. So he has to look at it from the bottom third, the middle third, and the top third of all the tour players, when he's always resided in the top, well, the top upper echelons, if you will. But now he has to step back and look at it through a different set of lenses. But the one thing that Tiger has going is the trust factor. They know that he will look at this in a way that is going to be best for everybody. and they have a lot of faith in him. But to your point, we really don't know. I mean, we have an idea how he didn't want his legacy to be hurt by this. But as he steps back now, puts that aside and says, okay, from a pure business perspective, what is the right thing to do here? What is the right way to merge this thing, you know, ruin this thing, remove, tailor, adjust, customize? That's what's going to be so very, very interesting to see. And it's almost, as this wears on, I'm going to be curious to see how much of this news is going to overshadow what's going on, for example, in the run to the FedEx Cup. Because some of this has to start playing out relatively soon, or they're going to start running out of time. And before you know it, it's going to be September. And then
And the interesting part, too, is in the most pivotal time in golf history, it seems like there has never been more shaky leadership right now with what's happening with Commissioner Jay Monahan. He's been absent because of some medical issues, but even when he's been present, it seems like there's a lot of players coming at him with questions, whether it's Scottie Scheffler, whether it's Xander Schauffele, John Rahm, a lot of guys that probably don't feel very confident in terms of the leadership right now with the PGA Tour, because all these guys were completely blindsided by this proposed merger with the Saudi PIF deal. And Tiger Woods, it feels like, gives some stability. He now becomes the figurehead of all the leadership that resides within the PGA Tour. And I think for a lot of players, they know, or at least they think, that Tiger Woods will have their best interest at heart. And you even though, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, like, we don't know his true thoughts on the LIV Tour, but we know his true thoughts on the PGA Tour. And he will forever, forever, forever be looking out for those guys and in their best interest. So I think that alone is something that'll certainly help kind of steady some choppy waters right now for the PGA Tour and everything that's going on, because the leadership right there is one that lacks trust. And I think Tiger Woods adds a credibility factor now and a trust factor for a lot of these players, because they know that their best interest is going to be at heart with Tiger Woods governing this sort of this body right now.
100%. And, you know, when you mention how he will help calm the waters I'm going to be most interested in studying over the next few weeks are going to be the Rory McIlroy waters. Because now when you have your buddy, your partner, your pal, now being sort of the front and center, and it takes the highlight and the spotlight off of you, I think Rory's going to be able to play some solid golf for the rest of the year. And he might be a royal pain in our rear ends when it comes to the Ryder Cup, all because Tiger Woods got involved to help take a lot of the spotlight off of Rory and let Rory be Rory and play the best golf he can possibly play. So I actually look for Rory to have a heck of a next few weeks coming up.
That's a good point there. I do have a Rory McIlroy question for you that involves a couple other golfers as well. Let's do that when we come back here. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, this is the CDGA Golf Show. At 9 o'clock, we'll talk to Brendan Sweeney, the Director of Golf Media and Player Development at French Lick Resort. Big news for the Korn Ferry Tour and French Lick Resort. We'll get to all of that at 9 o'clock with Brendan, and also tell you about a fantastic CDGA member perk that French Lick Resort is offering as well. We'll do all that at 9 o'clock here. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, 312-332-3776. If you want to join the show here on ESPN 1000, this segment brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. I will ask you about Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, and Jordan Spieth when we come back. I've got a question for you about those four golfers. We'll do all that when we return here on the CDGA
to where you should play. This is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment is brought to you by Torrid. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan with you on the CDGA Golf Show here on ESPN 1000. We've been talking a lot about Tiger Woods and what's been happening with him as he has joined the PGA Tour Policy Board. He's now one of six players, and the interesting part now is there is a voting majority among the players now as a part of this PGA Tour Policy Board. So Tiger Woods, obviously a very influential name and voice in the sport, and that influence and brand has grown even bigger now with this latest move. But you were talking a little bit earlier, Mike, and I thought it was an interesting point how with Tiger Woods not calling the shots, but being a part of the shot-calling group now, is it going to help out Rory McIlroy? Because we've seen Rory McIlroy as the one carrying the torch for the PGA Tour and being the voice of this is the tour and the tour will be the premier golf league within the entire sport. And it feels like there is some burden that has been taken off of his shoulders now with Tiger getting involved, because Tiger, again, who knows the next time we're going to see him on a golf course, if we even see him on a golf course in a significant event here moving forward, because of the way that his health has unfortunately played out here as of late. And with Tiger Woods now stepping into this, is this going to take a lot of pressure off of Rory McIlroy to be that voice now within the sport? And is it ultimately going to allow him to play better golf? It's certainly something that golf fans are going to be watching for over the next year.
I truly do. I really think it will, because really when he had a really poor Masters showing, and really was the only major that he really didn't perform to the Rory McIlroy standards that we've come to know. That being said, I think at the same time, how he started to play better was when he did take that break, realized that I'm carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders. I have to take a mental break, even to such the extent if it's going to fine me $3 million by not going to, you know, if I miss two of these, you know, designated events, and obviously the one right after the Masters was, he realized mentally he was fatigued. He was not in a good place. And I think, really, since June 6th, when the ultimate story came about how these two are going to somehow coexist or merge or acquire one of the other, his golf game has gotten pretty darn good. And so, you know, he still, though, in that infamous press conference when he said, you know, I would quit golf before I'd ever join LIV, he still has a fundamental burning passion and a hatred towards what LIV did to the golf ecosystem. And I think the sooner he's able to move on from that, the sooner his life and game will get back to the way it used to be, and I think we're starting to see that. I think having Tiger now come in, who isn't having to play right now, say basically, give me your burden. Let me take that off your shoulders. You go play golf. Let me kind of now help be the sixth player. And now the players feel that they have a majority of people on that board that are looking at it from a player's perspective. And I think when you have your good buddy, fellow Nike guy, Tiger Woods, coming onto the scene, you now see that the ecosystem of golf is starting to come back together and be what it used to be, or is on path for a very good future. That's going to free up his mind. And what he's doing right now, while everyone is fretting, trying to get into the top 70, trying to, you know, make it to the FedEx Cup points, he's now mentally resting, preparing physically, mentally, and emotionally. And I think it would not surprise me in the least if he goes on a tear for the rest of the season.
And you mentioned that day when he started playing better golf. I mean, you look at his final outlook in the majors. Yeah, he got cut from the Masters, but tied for seventh at the PGAs, a runner-up finish at the U.S. Open, and then tied for sixth at the Open, and it looked like he had a shot to win at one point, or at least compete a little bit with Brian Harman. So you just look at what he's done ever since that Masters, and it's really been, I mean, very similar to what we saw out of him in 2022, some top 10 performances, but ultimately not enough to truly take in and win the tournament. So I look at what he's been doing. And again, the whole question with him is he hasn't won in nearly a decade in terms of majors, right? And now that spotlight on him is on him for every single tournament that he dives into. And it's got to be stressful for a guy like Rory McIlroy in that regard when these questions keep coming up and up and up. And they always say, oh, like, Rory, like, does it start to get tiring having to answer all these questions about coming up short? And ultimately, he's going to continue to get these questions until he finally breaks through and wins that major. And hopefully this is something that can take the burden off of him a little bit, because he's got so much going on between the ears right now. And he's still playing top 10 caliber golf in this moment. But the question I wanted to ask you, Mike, you know, there's a couple of players that we've seen really sort of fall off over the last, what, 3 or so years. And guys that you just knew would be locks to be, and when they started their careers, you thought would be, oh, that guy's going to be in the top 10 of almost every single major that we see for the rest of their careers. But when you look at guys like Colin Morikawa, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, and everything that's happened to him, and now Rory McIlroy as well in that group, like, if you had to pick one guy out of that group of four that I just laid out for you there, who do you think wins the next major? Because those are guys that, if you had told us in 2019, oh, those guys would be kind of, that none of them would have a major victory since then, I think we all would have been shocked to hear something like that. But the way that they've sort of played over the last 2 years now, it's really been, like, they've played strong golf, but none of them outside of Rory have really, I guess JT had the PGA Championship last year, but he's been someone that's completely fallen off the face of the earth and is in danger of missing the playoffs.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting, by asking that question, I think before this week I would have answered the question with the answer of Colin Morikawa. However, now that Tiger is involved, I go back to June 6th and what happened with the first major thereafter. Rory McIlroy finishes second at the U.S. Open. And that performance should have been enough to win most majors. But sometimes a player just gets beat by another pro having a monumental week. And that's exactly what happened at the U.S. Open this year. So I share that because already June 6th gave some form of relief to Rory mentally. And it obviously cascaded over to the British Open. And Brian Harman, he was just unbeatable. That's what happens in golf. But Rory is my answer now. I honestly think he'll be the next to win the major, because Rory was the out of the class you just told me or asked about. Rory has now, you know, gone through the relationship. He now has Erica as his wife and, you know, life. He's got the child. He's now learning to deal with life in a different phase, because I go back to what Jack Nicklaus said. One of the hardest things he ever did in his career was to be married, start a family, and be an awesome father and an awesome husband, and still continue to play golf at a high level. I think, you know, at least the Jordan and JT are in that same mix right now, trying to figure it out. And even Colin Morikawa to a degree. And what they all four have in common is the amount of endorsements, the amount of you know, commitments that come along with all of these endorsements and sponsorships and things. And all of that takes away from practicing, from the day in and day out, keeping your mind and your game physically and mentally at a point where it is razor edge sharp. And the moment you start taking time away to put it in all the right places, it's something's going to have to suffer. And I think what these guys are starting to realize is that I can only put so much on my plate and still be the player I intended to be when I was just a single man coming fresh out of college and trying to make it on the tour. So I think it's just an evolution that a lot of these guys start to hit in the late 20s, early 30s, either because of the success and or the some of the personal life all getting intertwined and trying to figure that component out.
Yeah, I think the other interesting wrinkle in all this, too, is like how you would rank them out moving forward as well. Because, like, I don't know what to make of Justin Thomas's struggles. He doesn't look like a professional golfer out there at times. And that's something that I would have never thought we would have said about someone like Justin Thomas, who was just so steady for so long. And this year, the wheels have just completely fallen off for him. He's putting up rounds of 80 left and right, it feels like, for a JT there. And then Jordan Spieth has always been sort of a conundrum because, like, he's had the success early on in his career. I mean, you go back to 2015, what a banner year that was for him. A pair of major wins and then finishes top five in the other two majors. But the way that his career has sort of gone since 2019 as well, had a nice showing at the Masters this year, finished inside the top five. But outside of that, it's just kind of been, he's been playing top 30 golf, it feels like. And he's not racking up these big wins on the PGA Tour as well. Like, he's got a win last year and a win the year before, but doesn't have a year a win this year on the calendar. And it just, Jordan Spieth week to week has just been sort of this, like, he's good enough to be in the mix at times, but I don't know if I see another major win in his future.
Yeah, I would agree with you on Jordan Spieth, but your point about JT is well said. I mean, if you talk about a guy that's been consistently inconsistent, it's Justin Thomas. And it was interesting. I watched some of his Thursday round because, you know, up until that point, Thursday's round was probably the most important in his career. Now, he went out even. Well, then that made yesterday's round now the next most important one. But what was interesting on Thursday, he looked out of sorts. He looked off balance. And he really started looking like a guy out of time. But yesterday, wow, he came back, and it was like all of a sudden his clutch gene kicked in yesterday. Mm-hmm. Now, which Justin Thomas is going to show up today, this weekend? Because if I'm, you know, Zach Johnson looking at this, I'm like, there's my clutch guy. He's coming through when he needs to at most. If he can somehow finish in the top four this week, that gets him into the top 70, and now that gets him going towards a lot of momentum that's A, good, but B, also getting him into the FedEx Cup running, but then C, it's all about the Ryder Cup. And, you know, when the chips are down and you've got to play well, that was yesterday and he came through. But unfortunately for Justin, the next two rounds are going to be equally as important. So I think this weekend's going to be a very, very telling in how Justin Thomas's career or year basically either continues or ends. And it's baffling when you look at how talented these guys are, but they all seem to hit this little lull in their career and they just have to fight like mad to get out of it.
And like you bring up the point about, like, then the next round becomes the most important one of the year. When you keep having to stack those and keep having to perform in those, then wow, you really start to play some really pressure-packed golf. And I mean, in terms of Ryder Cup status, like, that may be a good thing for Justin. Like, if he goes out there and really plays some of the best golf of his life over these next 2 days at the Wyndham, like, then you're talking about someone that Zach Johnson, I think, has even more confidence in. Even though, I mean, leading into this week, there probably was very little, if any, confidence in a guy like Justin Thomas. So certainly fascinating. We will continue to keep our tabs open on Justin Thomas because he is one of those guys that's going to be one of the more fascinating watches over the next couple of days. And if we get there, a couple of weeks as well. When we come back, John Rahm with some interesting comments as well about the Ryder Cup. We'll do that as well as with Jay Monahan, too, and LIV Golf. We'll do that when we return. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge, the CDGA Golf Show. We'll be right back.
Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment is brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Real Pro Golf Bag. Tyler Rocky and Mike Gilligan here on the CDGA Golf Show. here on ESPN 1000. We talk golf with you every single Saturday from 8 to 10 a.m. And if you missed anything, be sure to check it out on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcast. So John Rahm had some interesting comments that he made on a Spanish language podcast, the Golf Sin Etiquetas podcast. And he talked a little bit about Jay Monahan as well as Keith Pelley, the CEO of the DP World Tour, and talking about how they have to earn their trust again. And you look at everything that sort of happened with John Rahm over the last couple of years. I mean, a guy who has elevated and put himself on the fast track to stardom here, going out winning the Masters this year. And this is kind of contradictory to what we heard from John Rahm, who kind of played it close to the vest the first or the last time we heard him asked about Jay Monahan and saying how Jay's always been so good to me and my family. And this was on the heels of the Open Championship out in Royal Liverpool. And that seems to have changed a little bit. And he talked a little bit more about how 2 minutes before the announcement came out that the PGA Tour and the PIF were merging, that someone called him and he thought it was a joke. And then he finds out a couple minutes later that, no, this is something that is happening. And I think that when you look at what John Rahm is talking about here and him now kind of backtracking a little bit on his support for Jay Monahan, it just goes to show even further what the importance level is for a guy like Tiger Woods to go out and create some stability to the leadership at the PGA Tour.
Exactly. And, you know, Jay Monahan lost a lot of trust out of a lot of players. It's slowly going to be coming back, I think. But having Tiger in this role is certainly going to help this process move on a lot quicker. I do read and see, though, that a lot of the other players do still have the faith in Jay, although it wavered. But, you know, John Rahm has an interesting take on all of it, from Ryder Cup all the way to LIV. And, yeah, he's got an interesting perspective, to say the least. And what I found also very interesting, of all people, to tell him not to go to LIV, it was his fellow alum, Phil Mickelson, throughout this whole thing, has been telling John Rahm, you don't need to come here. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But one thing he did is leaving the PGA Tour and going to LIV, that rumor is completely squashed now.
Yeah, I think with the money that's going to be coming to a lot of these guys, you'd imagine guys like Rahm and Rory are going to, if they choose to accept it, again, that's another question as part of all this. But the money that's going to be coming to them as a result of staying loyal to the PGA Tour is going to be a pretty hefty sum. And like you said, his fellow Sun Devil and Phil Mickelson telling him not to go, I think is important, because let's be honest, like, say what you want about LIV Golf, but Phil has been spot on with nearly everything he's said and done over the last year and a half now in terms of LIV Golf and kind of what's been uncovered within the PGA Tour and all that. Like, Phil, for everything you want to say about him, he's gotten a lot right, it feels like, over the last year and a half in terms of his projections. And if he's a guy that's telling me, don't go to LIV, you don't need to come here and play, go, basically telling him, protect your legacy at this point. I'll take the hits. Brooks will take the hit. DJ will take the hit. We've taken the hit so some of you guys don't have to. Like, at that point, why would anybody be flipping over to LIV at that point? Because it seems like the money's going to be coming and flowing in as a member of the PGA Tour. So at that point, what's the point? Like, this kind of, once this merger becomes official, it's going to pretty much, everything's going to sort of even out, it feels like, from a financial standpoint.
Yeah, and you know, it's so true. And with John Rahm and the rest of these guys, they have to give a big kudos to Phil Mickelson, because if he wasn't right on most of it, I think he was right on all of it. And That was, in fact, we had a conversation yesterday with a few people, and everyone is shocked at when they first saw this all come about. They thought Phil Mickelson was off his rocker, and you know, but now as we come full circle a year and some change thereafter, he was right, and I'm still struggling to figure out what he was wrong on. But the only thing I can come up with is really kind of how he handled some things, you know, from a PR perspective. I think if he could go back and redo some of the things, I think he would handle things a lot differently from a you know, just an overall cover story look, if you will. But you're right. He was right, and he continues to be right, and he continues to be right even in the world of Jon Rahm and giving him that type of advice. So, yeah, I think at the end when this all plays out and we're like 5 years down the road from now, I just wonder if we will look back at Phil Mickelson in a way of, wow, what a thinker, what a out-of-the-box kind of guy. Thank God that he did this, because where would we be here 5 years later if this never would have happened? So, you know, right now, polarizing figure, but, you know, like you said, he was right.
Yeah, optically it looks poor, but actions-wise, it's not. Like, that's ultimately the way that I look at everything that's sort of gone down with Phil ever since LIV Golf has sort of entered the conversation here. All right, when we come back, let's take a little whip around what's going on with the Wyndham Championship. We'll do that when we return. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf.
How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
Out in Greensboro, North Carolina, we've got the Wyndham Championship taking place right now, and it's an important tournament for some as we continue to wind down closer and closer to playoff time here. And Justin Thomas, I think all eyes on him. He right now, after going even on day one, fired a 5-under to slot himself tied for 21st in a hefty, hefty pack right now. That also includes Nick Hardy, one of our favorites here on the CDGA Golf Show. He is at 5-under as well. He's set to tee off in about 90 minutes from now. By the way, this segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. So, Mike, as we look at the leaderboard right now at the Wyndham, at the top you've got Russell Henley. He's got a one-stroke lead at 12-under over Billy Horschel, who sits at 11-under. Adam Svensson, Lucas Glover, Byung-Hun An, and Brendan Todd all at 10-under right now. They're in a big tie for third right now. Anything sort of sticking out to you here from the Wyndham leaderboard here as we enter moving day?
Well, really, for me, I just think it's awesome that Billy Horschel shot 62 yesterday, the lowest round of his professional career. Remember, this is a guy who, when he went to go defend Memorial back in May, first round, he shot 84.
Mentally, that's right.
In the basket case, he was in tears. He was in tears. And now, look at him go. And Billy Horschel could have one heck of a rest of the season building on what is happening now. And he's a good dude, and it's just so cool to see a guy go from bottoming out to climbing back up and getting back up to the top of the mountain again and playing just some solid, good golf. And another guy that, you know, we haven't heard a lot from this year, former major winner Lucas Glover. He's having a good event. He shoots 66, 64. That's nothing to sneeze at. He's only two back. And then Brendan Todd had a heck of a day yesterday. So some low scoring yesterday from some guys that not only have some skill sets, but this is really an event that could help shape the rest of their season this year as well as rolling into next. So good to see guys coming back like that after, you know, battling adversity the way Billy Horschel has.
So I'm looking at some of the odds right now, and I'm not looking necessarily at the winner's odds, but I'm looking at a matchup in front of me right now. Justin Thomas, and he's paired up with Sung J.M. Justin Thomas is even money right now to win. Sung J.M., you got to eat a little juice here at minus 125. But listen, if JT can golf like he did yesterday, and I think his feet are being held to the fire a little bit more so than anyone else in the field. I mean, this is an event that if things were going Justin's way, we probably don't see him in right now. At plus 100 for the biggest round of the season for Justin Thomas, like, I feel like that might be some pretty good value right there if he can go out and take down Sung J.M., because he's just going to have to keep on rising up this leaderboard if he wants to make some noise towards getting into the playoff as well as getting a spot on the Ryder Cup team for this upcoming year.
Yeah, I would think he's good money, no doubt about that. But, you know, he does have to play good. He, I think, is going to have to at least get himself into a tie for 18th or better to at least have a chance. But then he's at the mercy of how a lot of other players finish. I think if he gets into the top four, he's automatically in. So anywhere from 18th to 4, depending on what the rest of the field does, he's got a shot. But he can control his own destiny if he can go low these next 2 days. And if he does, man, what a statement to make to Captain Zach Johnson. And, you know, Zach asked for something, and he might just get it. He wants it to be the hardest decision he's ever had to make, because that means he's got a lot of good people to choose from. And that may be in the process of happening. And, you know, from the American standpoint, let's hope it is.
Yeah. I want to do a little Ryder Cup stock rising and falling with you as well. We'll do that maybe around 9:15 after we talk with Brendan Sweeney from French Lick, which is coming up next. Real quickly, though, before we hit the break, another shout out to one of the local guys, Doug Gim, 3 under right now, Buffalo Grove's own. He made the cut, and he is currently through 2 and even today. So Dougie Gim, having himself a nice tournament as well. I mentioned Nick Hardy a little bit earlier. He's currently tied for 21st in a big group of golfers right now with some pretty nice names in there as well, including the aforementioned Justin Thomas as well as Luke Donald as well. All right, when we come back, we will talk to Brendan Sweeney, the director of golf media and player development at French Lick Resort. Big news for French Lick. They are getting the Korn Ferry Championship for the next 5 years. We'll talk about all that and more when we come back. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan golf without the drive.